In this week, on the 21st of April 2002, what turned out to be the last match with the name Wimbledon FC ended with the t fans turning their back on the pitch in disgust, with the club's owners determined to relocate to Milton. Don's supporters had staged a season-long series of protests, and by the time of the 1-0 home defeat to Barnsley, an FA decision on whether the relocation should be allowed was just weeks away. Yes, folks, disappointment, depression, and anger is what we do. We're the same old Wombles. We're depressed. Hello, hello, welcome, dear listener. Yes, it's the Monday evening after of the bank holiday. Such hopes, such dreams, and now dashed on the rocks of despair. Anyhow, my name's Matt Cooper, and today I'm joined by the up for it dynamic more frere, Niall Cooper. Oh, Niall.
Matt, I think I'm feeling a little bit depressed.
Yeah. And I'm joined by the sensible person who stayed at home and watched it online. Not so sensible, our amazing producer, Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam.
Yeah, it's great to throw away another tenner on a VPN stream.
And my companion in the stands, our football guru and statistician, the wonderful Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark.
Good evening, all. Strictly speaking, Matt, I owe you the money for the ticket, but I was wondering if you would actually pay me having watched that game.
Someone needs to pay me too, my friend. I think that's probably what Ryan Johnson was being asked at the end of the match. We'll come on to that in a second. Okay, now on our way today, we decided as this was the last away game I think we're all going to be at, we decided we would do some little clips. So just going to take you back to the start of the day, and you'll hear some clips of the journey to the match. Some interesting things. I'd just like to say I think Niall is a wonderful driver before anyone starts to get angry there. And then you'll hear some of the inside the stadium, some of the responses, and you'll hear a little bit from Mark as well, analysing the game towards the end. Although he gave a lot
Calling it
of
as it
words.
was.
Yeah,
Calling it how shit it was.
calling it as it was. He used a lot of words where I think the word shit would have just done. Anyhow, if there is anyone listening to this, and God knows why you would put yourself through it after this weekend, but if you are listening to it, dear listener, sit back and enjoy our horrendous trip to Gillingham.
Okay. Welcome to Same Wombles. I'm Matt Cooper. I'm with my friend Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matty.
Yep. We're just driving down to Gillingham and full of sense of trepidation. My trepidation hasn't been helped by the fact that I saw a post on X the other day talking about predicted points tally, and it had us on 71 points, and we currently have 70 points.
Yeah, that's not an awful lot of extra points out of three games. I'm making that a net total of one extra point. Is it going to be today, that one extra point? That's the question.
Well, they was in their prediction thing, they were saying no. So no extra point today. Our extra point bizarrely is against Port Vale, and then no points is. And as a result of this way that they worked it out, we finished outside of the playoffs.
Right, so that cheers us up. Happy, happy, happy days. At least it isn't raining yet.
Yeah, and so anyhow, we've got our tickets down to Gillingham, and this feels very much like the time we watched Bristol Rovers away.
Yeah, it rained then too.
But what it did there was spectacular because it rained just for the duration of the match.
Very heavily and very badly. So that's what we're looking forward to. So we're looking forward to no points, heavy rain, and no optimism. Right,
And
thanks, Matt.
just saying, and I'm wearing my yellow and blue Pumas, and I've noticed a few of them around the ground. So it's either the yellow and blue Pumas or the yellow and blue Adidas that people have. I've gone for the Pumas primarily because they were cheaper. But Adam told me to get this waterproof stuff for the trainers, so to protect the trainers with the waterproof stuff, which I singularly didn't do.
Right, okay, because that was up there with the most interesting things that we could possibly talk about on the way there.
But
Obviously, what makes it.
I'm just saying that basically what I'm going to say is that when it starts to rain much,
roundabout, take the second exit and stay on North Cray Road, A223.
That's interesting. I think we should do that. Yeah. That's a good bit.
Anyhow, the point is, my shoes are going to get trashed. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to get soaked, and my shoes are going to get trashed. And you know, it's all good. Anyhow,
do you think they'll have a MyPie equivalent?
Not for us. Not for us. Oinks. No. No,
probably not.
No.
Well, it'll just be like a bad sausage roll or something.
Yeah, not
even,
Right,
that's it.
In so a this quarter is of a mile to. At the roundabout, right. Take the second exit onto Vicarage Road, A201A.
Vicarage Road, we're in Watford!
Got really seriously wrong. Sorry, people, we were going to go to Gillingham, it appears we're now going to Watford. Anyway, we will be there.
Yeah, we'll be there. And it's going to be, you know, it is horrible. I mean, I'm trying to work out what's better, because I remember the end of last season, when we were doing our awards and stuff like that, there was a sort of like a weird sense of, not euphoria is the wrong word, but sort of like a sense of happiness, acceptance of where we were at the end of season awards. Were quite fun and it was all a bit of a laugh. This feels really anxiety inducing, you know, and I guess you have to accept it.
If you're a football fan, I've gone into a zone where I'm just kind of completely wiping out of my head and just thinking, I can't think about that, which is probably a good thing because most people have seen me or know me as a driver, and I'm not renowned for being a very good driver. So
right. Okay. Anyhow, that was an example there. Oh my giddy arm. Right. Okay.
I quite like the idea of less, just for your reference.
Yeah. I know. Anyhow, God willing, we'll see you all there.
So we've arrived in Gillingham. I've parked. I believe Matt is very happy with my parking. In no way was critical of where I decided to leave the car. Is that correct, Matt?
Well, I don't know if you're meant to park in front of driveways. That's my only concern. And that we're in Kent, where they'll burn your car rather than ask questions.
Do you know what? I mean, I'm sure I've got insurance for that. And parking in front of a driveway, well, it was like between two driveways and it was on a curb. So it's fine. The other thing that we're really quite interested about was the team.
Oh, no, Tilly's in it.
Tilly's in it.
Yeah. So it's he's dropped Kelly and Bugle and put in Sass and Foyer.
This is all very, very interesting. So that's quite a change. So we're quite interested by that. Obviously, we are still in Kent and my car doesn't appear to be in fire at the moment. It seems all right at the main moment, Matt.
Yeah. Well, that's because now the games that started, mate, you know, you've got a good 2 hours before so they can get things sorted.
Right, anyway, that's our early analysis of the game and what we're thinking is going to be happening, which can revolve more around if you do see a box Moriva on fire, a red one, then that is probably mine. But there you go.
Here I am, Simon Wombles. We've just arrived at the ground. We're on the scaffold end, which is you know, interesting and terrifying at the same time. So with Niall and Alex, Mark has just gone to loo, and we've got allocated seating, but Alex is of the opinion that we can just sit wherever. So here we are, and Alex, what are you reading, mate?
I just bought a crap novel for the train. So yeah, if I lose it, I lose it.
Okay, excellent. That's how we treat our literature these days. Anyhow, so we've got our seats. We're looking forward to being rained on in a bit. It's an interesting stadium. So it's got, you know, quite high stands on to the left and in front of us there, home end. Then a low stand to the right. And then, well, I think there's also Wimbledon fans are seated. And then we're in the scaffold bit. Just looking forward to the elements. Oh, and I can just see they're coming out, getting ready to do some flag waving.
Shall we move?
Hey, Wimbledon! It's wonderful!
It's wonderful!
Suffolk is wonderful!
Blah, 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 blah.
It's wonderful.
No, it's here, sorry.
So, here we are.
He's recording it for the pod.
Here we are. Here we are. My friend, our keeper at the North.
Hello, Matty.
And our football guru and expert, Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark.
Good
Good afternoon. Same old ones on tour.
And today our special guest is all the Wimbledon fans. Seeing here in the home end. We're not even mentioning our other former presenter. He'll be back with us at some point.
Mr. Alex, Mr. Folks.
Here we all are. And I've got to ask, Mark, what is your thoughts on the team? So we've got Sasu and Foyo in and Bugle and Kelly on the bench. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking, frankly, Omar was running on fumes on Friday, so nobody wants Omar dropped because he's a wonderful, wonderful player that we really depend on quite a lot of the time. But actually, you can't keep on playing every single player for every single minute. So I wouldn't play 3-4-3, but that's what it looks like we're doing today. And I love the fact that Foyo's got a start. Loving that.
Awesome. So they are. Niall, what's your thoughts?
I think we've got distracted by the Gillingham mascot.
Yeah, I don't know why the Gillingham mascot, I don't know what it is. Is it a horse? Is it some sort of pony? What is it? And it's wearing.
Why has it got an American flag?
And it's got an American flag on it. Yeah, so it looks, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a horse, maybe a horse.
Minotaur. Surely half man, half woman, half horse. Minotaur S.
Yeah, with an American flag over his shoulder.
The journey was long. Yes, they were wrong. We're all the way home.
But hasn't really calmed down nerves particularly, that first half. It's 0-0, and I'm not entirely sure what's going on, but all I do know is that I'm pretty sure Foyo, you know, makes me slightly nervous now, and he's on a yellow. Has done his bit. I would be bringing on Bugle at this particular moment. Niall's whole demeanour is just not positive.
Well, I think it's largely because I know what's happening elsewhere, and that being that Bradford and Doncaster are both winning 2-0, and it's not quite happening. We've been a bit more direct, which is interesting, and that's quite, you know, welcome. But can we just win and score? Please.
Yeah, it would be nice, but I think, you know, they're sitting back. They're at Ainsworth side. They're sitting back and hoping to catch us on the break. And we're not being particularly creative. Sometimes it seems like Foyo is marking Nerfil, so it's a bit weird. Anyhow, we're in the sunshine at the moment, so it's not so bad not having a roof. We're about 52 minutes in, and I'm just going to hand you over to Mark, who's going to give us a description of where we are at the moment.
On the route to nowhere, frankly, the way we're playing at the moment. We're not holding the ball up front, we're not holding the ball up in midfield, and we don't quite know, look like we don't know whether we actually are professional footballers, frankly.
Yeah, it's not looking good, to be honest with you. I mean, really, it's really scrappy all over. And, you know, Nerfell's not getting anywhere on the ball. Silly's not crossing particularly. And I'm not sure Foyo is our answer. Anyhow. Okay, there we are. And we're back in the room. Oh, my friends. What a weekend it was. Because I think we, like everyone, you look before it and you go, 6 points from these two games would really do it. But then we did understand that we were playing two of the form sides. I think there was one defeat between both Chesterfield and Gillingham in like the last 20 matches between them. So it was going to be a tricky match. Chesterfield are clearly on the way up, and I think they're going to be one to watch for next season. And I think Gillingham are going to be one to watch for next season because we know how Gareth Ainsworth sets his sides out. Mark, how does Gareth Ainsworth set his team out to play?
To stop everyone else playing, to go down as many opportunities as possible, to whinge incessantly to the referee about absolutely everything possible, therefore trying to get the opposition obviously thrown off their stride. And frankly, today it worked to an absolute T.
Yeah, I mean,
I think to be fair, Mark, we were shit.
We were.
I think the first half, I would say the first half wasn't so bad, and we had chances. I think we've
had some, target.
We had some free headers, didn't we, which should have been on target.
The stats say they had one shot on target, and we had one shot on target. I can't actually remember our shot on target.
No, I can't remember our shot on target either.
BBC thinks we had one shot on target, but I don't remember either.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the second half was, and Narwa, you were saying this to me throughout, that the second half was as bad as I've seen us play. And I think what I find really weird is that we're still realistically in a chance of getting promoted. There's still an opportunity that we might go up.
How?
But that is, I mean, because we might be in the playoffs. We might be in the playoffs, and, you know, it might happen. It might actually happen. And just imagine us. Imagine that team in League One.
Oh, my God, that's painful. You guys obviously drove home, and Alex and myself had the wonderful fortune of getting a relatively slow train all the way back to London Bridge. At one point, Cormac, who a lot of fans will know, lovely Dutch guy who is a school teacher somehow, was pontificating on the train on the way home as to whether or not it was possible to forfeit the playoffs. Not even go in for them. Even if you qualified, not actually go in for them, because therefore you didn't have to lose them and you could spare yourself the indignity and the pain.
Yeah.
See, I think given that you might sense the level of optimism on this podcast, is that if we do manage to make the playoffs, and remember that is now a very big if because we are shit. If we did manage to make the playoffs, at least expectation is pretty much rock bottom. So that's like, you know, anything that could happen. I mean, suppose the worst thing would be that we might, by somehow, fluke get to Wembley.
Oh, God.
And then you've got to score goals to do that.
You've got to score goals. Although the thing is, I think in every playoff that we've been in, my expectations have been pretty low anyway. But I do remember at some point in the podcast saying what would be great is if we get to the final and lose, because we can take all the cash and still stay in League Two, which is clearly where we probably need to be at this point.
I'm actually sorry to say, I was talking about that. We talked about this on the way back in the car. Was right. If we got to the playoff final and won, right, it would be great for that day.
and then the realism would kick in. I mean, it's just awful. Do you know what was quite interesting is I was reading on social media, and Mark, I'm sure you would have seen this too. There was someone on there saying that they had they were back behind the scenes at Gillingham today, and they stumbled across a list of Gillingham targets for next season, and Nerville and Tilly were both on that list, as were strangely Ollie Palmer. So, I mean, one would hope that if Nerville and Tilly left us, and bear in mind they're out of contract in the summer, so you know they're footballers. They want to get as paid as much as they can, and they want to play at the highest level. My hope would be that those two would Nerville and Tilly would play at a high level and not go to Gillingham. But I think that there's a lot of money going into that club. And my fear is that next season, I'm not even sure that we would make the playoffs. Because I think we've seemed to be found out that our system is so rigid, we seem to be found out. That is my fear. So I think that, and to be honest with you, probably Jackson has to get us out of this league either now or next season. For that contract to be extended.
Naturally enough, all of us on the pod and anyone who's at the game today or was watching, as Adam was, are not going to be in a well-disposed frame of mind to be able to make any positive comments relating to the team or relating to the management. There were people, you know, already calling for Jackson's head. There have been people who've been calling
I
for
don't think so. Yeah.
The Walsall manager's head for some time. Online this is.
Yeah.
And there are other people at the same time are saying, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
But you're right, the rigidity is frustrating. And what was noticeable to us today, obviously, we were on the terrace behind the goal, For anyone who's been to Gillingham, it's that area where if it does rain, you get absolutely soaking wet. It's relatively close to the pitch, which is decent atmosphere if, obviously, your team play any kind of approximation of association football. If they just lump it up in a way that, frankly, somebody on the park pitches of South East London on a Sunday morning would be disappointed to produce, then, funnily enough, yes, Gillingham was strong and resolute in defence, but they didn't really need to be. Because, you know, we had Foyer making his debut, clearly not really knowing what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to be. And all he succeeded in doing is running into the space that Nerfer would usually use.
Yep, yep.
Exactly as you just mentioned, Tilly and Nerfer, obviously being two of our brightest sparks this season, not getting the ball into any particular space or great positioning. Maycock running around like somebody who didn't even look non-league standard, let alone League Two standard, frankly, and certainly not making any forward ones whatsoever. And Smith being completely neutered, as sadly I did say he would be if Jackson played him in the defensive role without Reeves being in the team. I don't know where Ball was, whether he was on the bench, whether he wasn't available at all. Hippolyte not available again. Playing three through the middle with only two in midfield to give them the ball just doesn't get us anywhere because three up front don't get the ball.
Yeah,
it's been or, sort of or to simplify it, man.
We've seen for the last four or five games.
Or to simplify it, we were shit.
But I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think it needs to be what were we playing before? 3-3-5-2.
Yeah,
I'd like that. Which
win the ball and pass it on.
Yeah, which makes sense.
If we were 3-3-5-2, that'd be all right because that'd be 13 players on the pitch.
No, 3-5-2
needed that.
Yeah, 3-5-2. I mean, I think we would.
I've got to add to Lewis's analysis, right? Which was Stevens also was completely non-existent. Sasu really didn't do very much. Johnson, once he got a knock, was a shadow of the player. And the only player I think that could hold himself with any level of respect today was Joe Lewis.
Yeah.
Everybody else was below par. And I honestly look at that team and have no idea where a goal's coming from.
Because, and it's amazing, you know, isn't it? But it's amazing that we have got a guy who was prolific. I mean, I don't know where he sits in the table now, but, you know, one of the top goal scorers until like 2 or 3 months ago. And now he's, for whatever reason, I think Matty Stevens likes the ball in front of him to run onto. He likes something like that, or a low ball into the box where, you know, but all the balls we're going out wide and we're putting them into the box, and all it takes is he's not the tallest man in the
listen to this, what
we used to do was quick passes, right? Quick passes on the edge of the box, finding the that space and undoing stuff.
Yeah.
How often have we seen out this team attack the byline and bring the ball back in? That's the sort of goal that Stevens wants. That sort of ball where you kind of
it's not just today or Chesterfield or the last couple.
No.
It's a stat from the WordPress thing that one of our wonderful Stato fans has done. First 23 league games from Matty Stevens, 54 shots in the box, 21 big chances, 12 goals, 4.5 shots per goal. Last 20 games, so this is not a new thing. 22 shots, 5 big chances, 5 goals. So it's done pretty well there in terms of the conversion. 4.4 shots per goal. But there's other blogs that show his heat map, which is way over in the left wing, somewhere near the right wing for the second half. Very, very little in the 18-yard box whatsoever. And literally next to nothing in the actual 6-yard box, and he's supposed to be our centre forward.
I mean, you didn't see him at all.
Really, not positive at all.
I didn't see him at all today, to be honest. I mean, I thought the first 20 minutes were quite good, but then, you know, and if we'd done something then, maybe things have been different. But the second half, whatever team talk Ainsworth gave, they basically destroyed whatever we were trying to do, and it was just like,
you know what, Adam, I'm not sure it did. Because we weren't doing anything. So it's easy to say the opposition nullified us. But if we do absolutely nothing, if we can't string a pass together and all you have to do is head the ball away, I mean, there was a point after Piggott came on. Piggott's what, 6'2", and we know, don't want to go over the issues that Piggott's had this season. The ball was bouncing around in the 18-yard box, and Johnny Williams, long-standing, biggest shit, how's it going in the whole team? But he's about 5'6", right? And he gives it absolutely loads, but frankly, he's short, so he'll give it loads and he'll try and compete, whatever. But there were two balls in a row where he jumped for the header, he went for the header, and he cleared the ball. Who was challenging him? Well, who was next to him, not actually challenging him, just fucking standing there doing absolutely nothing. That's not coaching by Ainsworth. That's ineptitude, I'm afraid, on the part of a player who's wearing an AFC Wimbledon shirt. And that's just not good enough. And that's what the fans were saying at the final whistle. That's not good enough.
I mean,
hey, I'm not a fan of pigs, so it's fine.
Mark's slightly upset. Mark, we've let Mark loose. We've let Mark loose, and he's given it loads. I mean,
I thought the first 20 minutes things were going. I thought Foyou and Smith were doing some interesting things. I think Nerfield was a bit
pottery
out of
or
somewhere.
Something.
Yeah, no, I thought they were all right for 20 minutes. Like, I thought the first 20 minutes were okay.
One header over the bar, nothing else.
No, I know, but you have to capitalise on the start of the game, and I felt they were going somewhere, and then it all just didn't go anywhere. And got even progressively more worse in the second half. I don't like pigs anyway. Why would even bring him on? I have no idea. And I wasn't even looking at him when he was not doing anything anyway, because I just don't think he's done. He's done for the season. I don't know why we even brought him on. Stevens was totally, I don't know. I mean, again, you couldn't see him on the TV, but he must have been completely pushed out of the game by whoever
was with him. He's running around. Stevens is running around. He was trying to challenge for everything, but he was a small guy, and they just people around him. He just wasn't getting a look in. He wasn't able to jump. And the only thing at the very start of the second half, when Bugle came on, you felt there was a sort of like a lift, and he was challenging and going for everything, and he was getting kicked all over the place. But Foyou was not ready. He was not ready to make his start. He wasn't ready to make his start.
Physical game, it didn't work at all. You know, it's like we probably should have had Hutchinson in the team all the way through, with Smith maybe playing further forward, because we needed like a kind of an experienced player to sit in front and just like, you know, nullify it and be a bit more physical, because we didn't have it and we were just rubbish today. And you know, I'm looking at the table and I'm like, you know, Salford are playing
Colchester.
Is it Colchester right next week? So it basically means that if Grimsby lose, and we don't want to know Toby here yet, right, then we should more or less be in the playoffs. So I think Chesterfield will win their last two games and then 70 points, right? So we need, in my opinion, to pick up a point from somewhere. And I'm not sure where we're
Colchester,
doing that.
Not Chesterfield, Colchester. And so, I'm not sure, because Colchester are doing very well, and I understand.
Chesterfield's next two games are very, very winnable. They're going to end on 70 points.
Chesterfield.
And now we're looking down again. So the fixtures we've got are Port Vale have ourselves and Gillingham. Gillingham at home. Doncaster have...
No, mate. Don't bother with that. Talk about the Grimsby.
Yeah, I'm going to read the whole lot, right? Just for balance. Doncaster have Bradford at home and Notts County away. That's tough. Bradford have Doncaster away and Fleetwood at home. Walsall have Accrington at home and Crewe away. But frankly, at the moment, they're making raggy-ass Rovers' second 11 look difficult. We, as we know, have Port Vale at home and Grimsby away. Notts County have Harrogate away, Doncaster at home. Colchester have Salford away and Barrow home. And Grimsby have franchise away and us at home. The interesting thing is this list was done 4 or 5 days ago by a Swedish Warsaw fan. He didn't even put Chesterfield in the list, because he was assuming that obviously there wouldn't be any issue there.
Yeah, that's it. That is in. I mean, like, Chesterfield is the interesting one. But my thought would be that if... And this is... Do you know what this reminds me of? I was trying to think what this reminded me of, and it came to me. If anyone has watched Mike Bassett, England manager, there's a point where they've lost, but they managed to get through because somehow Luxembourg have won. And they're all celebrating the fact that Luxembourg have won, and so the England team would get through to the finals. And this is what it feels like to me, is that we're not looking at us. It feels like we're not even looking at us to pick up a point. So now we're
now we're hoping that, you know, Colchester and Salford draw, or and if Colchester or Salford draw and Grimsby lose, we're pretty much guaranteed a playoff place because of our goal difference. That's what we're looking at. I mean, obviously, if we somehow beat Port Vale, and we do raise our game when we're playing the bigger sides. I mean, I think our game against Doncaster was bizarrely one of the best I've seen us play in recent times. So, you know, a win, it does it, obviously. But it's going to be nail-biting stuff. And then
you have to score to win.
That's the thing. And you know, at the moment, the only person scoring is Smith. Well,
we just moved him out of the position where he was scoring goals.
Well, that's it. I think the thing is that probably my hope would be that Jackson's looking at this and going, okay, I want to put Ball or Hutchinson in that and drop, and Maycock has to take a back seat, or radically go back to doing 3-5-2, in which case you can put put Ball in there and Maycock, and then just have Bugle and Stevens up front, drop Kelly. I'm guessing, but you know, whether I'm not sure he'll do that. I think he's got a system that I think he believes works.
Right, I mean, that's worked really well.
The one thing I'd say about his post-match interviews, which are pretty lame overall, I actually texted one of the club media team on the train on the way home and says, please, can you ask him if we actually don't want to go up? To which he didn't respond with, that's an unfair question or whatever. He just said, I'm not doing the interview. And he sounded quite grateful that he wasn't doing the interview. Jackson, in this interview, did actually sound contrite. He wasn't looking for any mitigating factors. And he said, well, we'll look at the whole game. Fine. If you look at the whole game, then you have to hold your hand up and say, you got the wrong formation, you played the wrong players. You understand why you freshened it up, but there's no point in having three up front if you don't give them any possession. But you won't get any possession if you don't have more than two players in midfield, because you'll get swamped. And if you can have someone like Bradley Dack and Johnny Williams, who are 35 each, 70 between them, managing to run rings around much younger and much more agile players like Smith and Maycock, then I'm slightly lost for words, which, as most people will know from this podcast, is quite an issue for me.
Hey, the thing that you guys have got right, though, is I was just checking the BBC stats, and you're right, there were no shots on target for the whole game. So wherever the one came from, they've obviously decided that didn't really happen.
Do you know what, though? What is weird is I'm just looking at the table now, and it's crazy how bad the form has been of all the sides near the top. Bradford, who are third, their last six games, they've picked up 6 points. Walsall have picked up 4 points. We've picked up 6 points. Notts County have picked up 7. Grimsby have picked up 8. Colchester have picked up 8. Even Chesterfield, who we're, you know, suggesting are on a run, have only picked up 9. So
that is the other thing with this season is that from whatever point Mark would have to check all the details, and is the total number of points to get promoted, all that kind of stuff, is a lot lower than previous seasons because everyone's screwing over. And so this is a chance when we have got an opportunity to get promoted because you don't need as many points, and we're blowing it.
Well, yeah,
everyone is blowing it except for Port Vale, to be honest.
Yeah, except Port Vale, and even then, their last two games, they've got a point, and I think they were thinking they would be celebrating going up.
But they had 4 wins in the way before that. So
yeah.
I was going to say, we're blowing it by the fact that we have one of the smaller budgets of the league, etc. An opportunity to take advantage of a poorly performing league doesn't come around that often.
No, and like I say, I think next season is going to be a real challenge. A real challenge. I think this season's been but as we said at the start of it, if you look back at the beginning, and Adam, maybe you have to dig it out and just see what our predictions were. But I think a couple of us were saying mid-table would be all right. A couple of us were saying playoffs, but you know, no one was saying the automatics. I think it's just getting so near, and then, you know, goofing up. But I think I think most of the sides, apart from Doncaster and Port Vale,
the last six games you mentioned have been shocking, because they have been games where we have thrown away shed loads of points and we've just been like really poor, you know. And it's like, I struggle to, I think, you know, it's difficult because you've got two games left to go and you kind of go, right, well, this team needs a massive shake-up. Do you bring Ogundeir back in? Put him alongside Lewis. Do you bring in Brown if he's fit? Do you put Hutchinson in the team? Do you go to five rather than the messed up midfield that we've got at the moment? Which of the forwards do you drop? Because frankly, none of them are on form. You know, there's just loads and loads of issues across that entire team.
We've played 44 league games. Do you think you'd work it out by now?
Yeah, Adam.
But do you think that there's nerves creeping into the whole team?
Yes.
Because like today, there was a lot of balls.
Yeah, they were scared of their own shadow today.
Yeah, they were terrified. Absolutely terrified. What they're terrified most of all, this is why we got three draws out of those last six, is losing. Although, you know, we've been in winning positions with those draws. It's just losing. We are terrified of that. And you could see it today. So there's no idea or creativity about going forward.
I agree with you, Matt. The problem we've got is that if we go behind, we ain't going to score.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the fact is, if we go in front,
we can't score.
We're not going to hold on to it. So it's really difficult. And it's very odd. It's very odd to be talking like this. And we're in the playoffs. We're fifth. I mean, it's really odd. It's really odd that
end of season game that no one wanted to play. The fans didn't want to be there, even though we gave it large. And again, we tried to make an atmosphere, which is impossible on that open terrace. But the players, like, you know, those that are out of contract, is almost like we feel like we know which ones are leaving. And if they know already, then they're not necessarily busting a gut because they've already got an agreement in principle in place with, in their eyes, a better club, or at least a higher paying club.
Yep, it's I don't know, it felt weird, but and I don't know. I mean, like, I can't remember how long it is between the end of the season and the semi-finals. I don't think that's a very long turnaround. I think that's quite a short turnaround, but then there's a period of time between the semi-final and the final, which is a good couple of weeks.
I think it's like the Friday and the Sunday, basically the weekend after.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday the 11th is the first, May the 11th is the first playoff leg one, and then it's, I think the playoff leg two is Saturday the 17th.
Is that definitely the League Two one, though, because Sky will mess everything up?
Well, no. So the League Two definitely is Sunday the 11th for the first leg, and the second leg is either the 16th, Friday the 16th, or Saturday the 17th, depending on what they decide to do.
Oh, please not the 16th.
The 16th is my wife's birthday. That wouldn't be ideal. And the 11th.
16th is almost my wife's birthday as well.
Yeah, we had the discussion before. That's right.
Yeah, that's.
So we have to play for everything.
Oh, no. Maybe it'll be. Maybe yeah, that's.
It's either Friday night or Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know.
I have an operation on the 3rd of May. So whether I'm actually going to be able to actually go to any of these games. I probably could make the 16th or 17th. Probably shouldn't, but probably could.
Well, all I can tell you about operations is I scheduled to have one when we weren't going to get in the playoffs in the conference, and ended up coming out the day before the first leg of the Fleetwood game.
Oh.
And then hired a wheelchair for the final, and we won. So fingers crossed for the operation, and obviously fingers crossed that it'll all work out right. Fine, you can get to the game, and it'll be worth getting to the game for.
And Mark, can I just one thing, because I know you've got to drop off in a second. The we'll end soon anyhow, guys, because no one wants to hear this rabbiting on. The Grimsby game, you've got a ticket.
So the Grimsby game, I've actually got four tickets, myself, my wife, and our two younger ones, just turned 18. So now it's like, do we go? Do we not go? Does she change her work shift so she can actually get the time off? If she doesn't, then do we hire a car off the weekend? How much extra expense do we really want to get? If there are anyone listening to this pod that actually want my tickets, then I'd be right now quite happy to be able to pass them on. Except, of course, we might still need a result to get into the fucking playoffs, full stop. At which point, I'm not sure that I could stop myself from going.
Of course, Lewis, if we beat Port Vale and Bradford lose, and Walsall also lose, then we could actually get promoted in that final game of the season as well.
I think if we beat Port Vale, we're in the playoffs anyway, and then everyone can just relax.
Oh yeah,
and if we relax, then who knows what Lamb and Grimsby?
Yeah. Anyhow, it's an interesting one. Finally, my final thing to say is that today's been the deadline for the end of season awards, which I think was meant to be midday today, if it's what it says. But I know that Adam and Nala are on there now and have been looking through choosing their players of the season or whatever it is. I have to confess, when it came to the women's players of the year and the women young players of the year, I really did not feel like I knew enough to make a vote. And I wasn't just going to vote on the fact that I've heard of Ashley Hinks or Emily Donovan. So I just felt like I couldn't, that felt wrong to me. So I didn't vote in those categories. I haven't seen them play constantly over the season.
And you should go and see them. Last game of the
season. Yeah, exactly. I know.
At Plough Lane.
Yep, that is very true. But now I wouldn't be able to vote now because that would have ended then. Similarly, if we scored an amazing goal, and I like the fact, I think probably the club knew that we weren't going to score a goal when they put up vote for the goals of the season. So they put all the goals up now because they realised we weren't going to score another goal between when that went out and the end of the season. Anyhow, so Niall and Adam are gonna go through it, and make their choices. I'm interested. And Mark, who have you gone for the men's goal of the season?
James Tilley in the last minute, Accrington second goal.
Yeah, I've gone for Morecambe because from my looking at it, he's further out coming in. He's come from his own area, I think, if I remember rightly, and then taken that shot, which was amazing.
So you're cheating by actually having looked at the goals, whereas I actually just did it from memory.
Yeah. It's not cheating. and by the way, if you're all going to, if you know, it's too late by the time this goes out, but the women's goal of the season, I think, is number three. Is that Emily Donovan? It's the goal three on that against Exeter, where she's like, I think, just inside her own half and ridiculous shot that goes in, Tilly-esque, one might say, or Tilly's could be Donovan-esque. Anyhow, so there's some cracking goals to look back on in what feels like a different season altogether, because it feels like the last couple of months we've been playing a completely different season.
We've been Matt, we've been Chip.
Yeah, that. Thanks, Niall. I think we get that.
Hey, just not to end on such a depressing note, but I think, and we mentioned Lewis played a blinder of a game today. He was all over the place doing stuff, and you know, and the guy who scored for them, he took him out of the whole game for the whole thing, with the exception of that he was,
except for the time.
No,
he
because yeah, because of where the ball was so good into the player that was free. That wasn't Lewis for marking. By that point, the player that should have been marking the goal scorer wasn't Lewis. But prior to that, Lewis had taken him out of the whole game. Really, really good. Yeah.
I thought Lewis had done great. And again, I love the fact that he is kind of like, what can he be, a false 10, false 9, a false centre-back who plays up front. It's interesting.
He can't be a one-man defence on his own, which is what it feels like he has been in the last few games.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, dear listener, I don't know why you'd be tuning in to listen to the depressing rantings of four middle-aged men. Hopefully we'll be more cheered up next week. Take care. Thank you very much, Monfrere, Niall. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Matt.
We're the same old Wombles. We're really, really depressed.
Good night.
Night.